Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jo, we're getting a glimpse at God's big picture.
It changes our perspective. God, you have placed me here at this place, at this time, at this moment, because you have a purpose and a plan for me at this time.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job. Mark is the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and president of Moody Bible Institute. And with all that's happening in our world today, we need real peace now more than ever. And as the Bible teaches, peace in your marriage, your family, your community in this world is possible. Mark, peace is contagious. It's like a good virus, isn't it?
It is contagious, and boy, if you have peace these days and operate with peace, you are the exception.
Yep.
And this is a great message because no matter where you live, whether it's a big urban center or a small rural community, I think that God has placed all of us in the place that we're at, in the season that we're at, for a purpose. And that purpose involves influencing where we live.
Let's see it as an opportunity.
Absolutely. And by the way, living in the city of Chicago and ministering here in the city of Chicago, more than ever before, we're aware of God really needs to work and move in places like Chicago all over this country.
Yeah, let's be agents of peace. Well, let's dive into this final message of our Stressed, Calming Down Without Cracking Up series. Here's Mark with today's message.
Peace and lack of stress, or learning how to cope with stress, is not just a personal thing, but it also is a contagious thing that should splash into other people's lives. In fact, your peace should be able to splash into your marriage and should splash into your family and should splash into your community and should splash onto your block and ultimately should splash onto our city and our country. It's contagious. And the peace of God was never meant just to stay within our lives. It's something that spreads like a good virus all around us. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about that, not just your personal peace, but our responsibility to help generate peace around us in whatever environment God has placed us. In order to do so, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. This is a great chapter because it talks about how to view the city. What is our responsibility towards this great city that we live in? And how do we view our responsibility towards the city? And I want to give you a little bit of a background so that you can understand what the prophet is talking about. This book is written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called the Weeping Prophet. He was called the Weeping Prophet because he had a message that he knew that no one would listen to. So he spent a lot of time weeping. He knew that he had a message to give, but he also knew that very few people would listen to the message that he had to give. It's kind of a tough thing to have a message and know that no one's going to respond to your message, right? They actually put him in a well. They arrested him. They ostracized him. They ridiculed him because his message was not a popular message that he was presenting and speaking. But Jeremiah was writing to a group of people that had been taken from Jerusalem. It was about 600 BC. Jerusalem had been invaded by their rivals, Babylon. And the people from Babylon, which is modern day Iraq, the people from Babylon invaded Jerusalem. They tore the city apart. They burned the temple. They desecrated. They stole items from the temple. They left the city in ruins. And they confiscated or took captive 3,000 men and women that they carried back to Babylon. That was hundreds of miles away from where they lived. So these 3,000 people were in a city that they did not like, in a culture that they did not understand, and they were dreaming about going back home. Why do we have to be in Babylon? Our heart is in Jerusalem. That song that was made popular years ago by the Rivers of Babylon, They sat down and remembered Zion. This is right there. They're talking about that. They were longing for Jerusalem, and they were living in a city that they really didn't like, in a culture that they really didn't want to be a part of. And Jeremiah writes to them about what attitude they're supposed to have towards the city that they live in. Some of you were raised in Chicago all your life. You've lived in the same neighborhood. Maybe you're still in the house that you grew up in. And so you live in Chicago because that's what you know. That's what you like. Your family members are here. Your kids, your cousins, your uncles, your aunts. You know the neighborhood. You grew up in Chicago. You've been eating Al's Beef on Taylor Street since you were a little kid. You remember when Connie's Pizza was just a little hole-in-the-wall restaurant before they went big time and started franchising. I mean, you have been around for a long time. You eat and breathe Chicago. There's others of you that you moved to Chicago because of school or because of your business or because you came to school and went to college, and then you realized you had $60,000 you had to pay off, so you had to work somewhere, and you got a job, and you're still trying to pay off your college bill, but you came here, and you live here. Some of you migrated from another country because Chicago and America was the land of opportunity, and so your parents or your grandparents migrated to Chicago, and you're in this city. Some of you love being in this city. Some of you live with a suitcase mentality. You know what a suitcase mentality is? I'm here for now, but I'm not staying long. I have a suitcase that I have not completely unpacked because my heart's not here. One of these days, I'm going back to Texas. It always seems to be warmer weather that we're going back to. I don't know. Everybody dreams about going back. I've run into some people, they talk about the old country, and almost like their heart's in the old country, but they lived here for 30 years, right? But still, the idea is, I'm not going to stay here. I'm only passing by. This is really not my home. This is really not my city. I live here for now, but I'm really just passing through, going somewhere else. Jeremiah is speaking a word from God to the people that lived in Babylon, a huge city. And he's telling them how to have a proper view to the city that they live in. And I want to give you just a couple principles that I think are really important for you and I to grasp today. Number one, in verse 4, he starts by telling them, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Notice, God is saying, I carried you into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. The first thing to have a proper view of this city, write this down. Is a proper view of the city acknowledges that God has placed us in our city and our communities at the right time. You are here living in this city or in this great metropolis because God wanted you here. You need to acknowledge it's the will of God that I live in this city. It's the will of God that He brought me here. You may think, well, no, Pastor, you see, I got a job offer, and I knew a cousin that helped me get this job, and so it's a series of coincidences that brought me here. And I want you to know that God is the master of connecting the points of coincidence to get us where He wants us to be. These 3,000 people were raising their hands up to God, saying, when will we leave this city? And Jeremiah is writing them and saying, God brought you to this city. He's the one that brought you to this place at this time, at this season, for this moment, because God has a purpose and God has a plan for you in this city. And I want you to notice that our circumstances in life, you live on the block that you live on because God brought you to that block with those neighbors. You live in the community that you live in right now because God wants you in that community right now. And He brought you there. And He orchestrated for you to be there. And you say, well, I wish I could have chosen because I really don't like my neighbors. And well, you're there though. and I'm trying to sell the house market slow. Hey, you're stuck now. But you need to acknowledge it's God that brought you there. You need to understand that it's God that has a purpose and a place for us. God is sovereign, which means that He pulls the strings of humanity, that He placed you in your job and in your neighborhood and in the place that you're at because He's got a purpose and a plan for that. When we acknowledge it, it changes our perspective. God, you have placed me here at this place, at this time, at this moment, because you have a purpose and a plan for me at this time. And Jeremiah is telling these people, reminding these people that God has brought them there for that moment and that season. The second thing I want you to remember when we have a proper view of the city, Jeremiah says to them in verse 5, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry, have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase the number there and do not decrease. The second thing we need to keep in mind when we have a proper view of the city is that a proper view of the city empowers us to get rid of an alien mentality and settle in long term. He says, build houses and live in them. How many of you know there's a difference between a renter's mentality and an owner's mentality? How about it? Hey, when you rent somewhere, it's a landlord's job to fix it, right? If the paint is chipping, it's not really your responsibility. If the yard is a little bit off, that's someone else's responsibility. If the neighborhood is starting to get bad or someone's not taking care of the house, you just think to yourself, I'm just going to pick up and move if I don't like the neighborhood. Because you have a renter's mentality. And there's nothing wrong with renting. And if you're renting today, I've rented at seasons of my life. But there's something that changes when you buy. When you invest money into a property, now you're concerned about the graffiti on the light post and you're scrubbing it off. Now you're going to the CAPS meetings in the neighborhood. Now you are concerned about the property values of your block and your community. Now if someone turns their music up loud and is making a lot of noise, you call the police because you want to... Hey, this is your neighborhood. This is your house. This is your block. Because why? You have a vested interest in the place that you live in. Your mentality has changed from a renter to an owner to someone that has vested interest where you live. What Jeremiah is saying, build houses. Don't have a suitcase mentality or a renter's mentality. Vest yourself in where you're living. Build your houses, build a house and settle in. Establish the stake and say, this is my home.
This is Bold Steps, the Bible teaching of Mark Job, and Mark will continue this message in a moment. Stay with us. Before we continue the lesson, though, we want to remind you that you can always find these daily teachings and catch up on anything you missed on the radio by simply going to our website, boldstepsradio.org. You can even have these messages downloaded automatically to your phone or mobile device by subscribing to the Bold Steps podcast. Open up your podcast app and search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Job. And there's also a special one-minute feature that you can easily hear anytime, no matter what your schedule looks like, by subscribing to the Bold Steps Minute. Add this convenient 60-second Bible teaching to your podcast lineup and get your daily dose of encouragement and wisdom right where you are any time of the day. Again, that's the Bold Steps Minute. To learn more, visit boldstepsminute.org. Here's Mark Job with more on today's Bold Steps.
The second thing that he says, he gives them another mandate. It's not only the real estate mandate, it's the business mandate. He says, plant gardens and eat their produce. In other words, learn to make money where you live. You can work for someone else, and that's good, but some of you are going to start your own businesses. In those days, the way someone started their own business is they'd get a plot of land, and they would begin to sow in that plot of land and they would harvest it and they would eat for themselves and they would take some of what they harvested and they would sell it to other people. In other words, he's saying, hey, don't be afraid to make business ventures. Don't be afraid to find ways of doing business that will supply the needs of your family and live off the business that you do. The thing is, when you own a business, you're more rooted because the people in that community are your clients. When you own a business, you pay property taxes into that area. You hire people from that area. You make your money off of that area. You care a little bit more of what's happening in that area. Why? Because you have a vested interest there. So he says, build houses, start businesses. The third mandate, he says, is marry and have sons and daughters. So the third mandate is start families. When someone's just passing through somewhere, they don't want to get involved in any long-term relationships because they're just passing through. They don't want to settle down. They don't want to marry. They want to date, but they don't want to marry. They want to have fun, but they don't want to have a household. Why? Because they have a temporary mentality. I'm not here for long. And what Jeremiah says is, hey, don't be afraid of long-term commitments. Don't be afraid to put that long-term commitment, find a wife, start a family, get married. And so Jeremiah is telling these people, hey, don't be afraid of taking on that kind of responsibility because ultimately a city is made up by the fabric of its families. Then he not only gives them the family mandate, he gives them the heritage mandate. Not only should they marry and have sons and daughters, it says find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase their number and do not decrease. I have a 10-year-old son, my youngest, his name is Grant, and he's 10. When he was about 5 or 6 years old, we were talking, and for some reason he was concerned about how he was going to pick his wife in the future. And it really was bothering, like, how will I know she's the right one, Dad? And it was kind of concerning him a little bit, this, you know, how he would pick the right wife. And I said to him, son, I'll make a deal with you. Listen, I know you well, and I think I have a pretty grasp of, a good grasp of women's personality and who they are. I tell you what, I said, I will pick your wife for you, okay? It seemed to relieve him a little bit. He said, okay, Dad. I said, let's shake on it. So we shook on it. And now that he's 10 years old, he's trying to get out of the deal a little bit. He's kind of pushing back on it. And I tell him, son, a deal is a deal. You said I could pick your wife. I'm planning on picking your wife. No getting out of this deal. So it's a done thing. We shook on it. So it's a done thing. But in essence, what he says is, you know, be involved in the process of helping your sons and daughters get married. Establish a heritage in that city. Don't be afraid of planting your roots in a place and having sons and daughters and grandsons in that city because it's a good thing. Establish and grow. What he's talking about is not having a temporary mentality, not being afraid to do life in the place that God has called us to. To say, this is our city, this is our community, and this is where we will do life. And then he says something very powerful, the third thing in a proper view of our city. Look at what he says in verse 7. He says, also seek, and in our English Bible it says, the peace and prosperity. But this, the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language, and in the Hebrew it's just one word, and the word is seek the shalom. Have you ever heard that word shalom? If you're around the Jewish culture, they'll say shalom as a greeting. The word shalom is an interesting word because the word peace doesn't quite describe it. It's just part of its peace, part of its justice, part of its prosperity. Other places it's translated, seek the good of the city. It means the favor, the well-being, the blessing of the city. So he says to these people that are in a city that they don't like, in a big city that they don't really feel is their city, that they came from another place, that they feel like they're just temporarily there. He says, I want you, you 3,000 that are there, establish yourselves, settle yourselves in, and seek the good of the city that God has placed you in. I love that. And then he tells them why. Listen. He says, the city to which I have carried you into exile, pray to the Lord for it. For what? For the peace of this city. Listen. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Do you hear what he's saying? What Jeremiah is saying is that even though you weren't born in this city, since you live in this city, this is now your city. And you are to seek. That means intentionally and aggressively pursue something. You are to seek the good of this city, and you are to pray for the peace of this city and the good of this city, because your destiny is tied in to the destiny of this city. Because if it prospers, you also prosper. This is huge. You see, I believe that as followers of Jesus Christ, as a community of faith, God has placed us in this city. And oftentimes the church gathers within four walls of its own buildings and worships and has a relationship with God, but then almost feels like if we go out into that big bad city, it's not our problem, it's not our issues, that's not our concern. But in reality, what God is saying, I love what it says in Romans. It says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We are people of the kingdom of God. Therefore, our values need to be the values of righteousness, peace, and joy. And wherever we go, we help bring the values of the kingdom of God. That means that as a community of faith and as people that embrace the kingdom of God, that we are to be praying. Part of our mandate is that we are to pray for the shalom, the peace, the goodwill of Chicago. That should be a part of our daily prayer. Oh God, we pray for this city. It should be something that we do on a regular basis. God, we pray for this city, for its systems, for the education, for the political process, for the economy, for the neighborhoods, for reduction in violence. We pray, oh God, for our city, because this is our city that you have placed us in. Not their city or that city or the city I happen to live in, but this is our city.
So this isn't just for Chicagoland. If you live in the East Coast or West Coast or down in Florida, if you're in Ohio, or if you're in Indianapolis area, or maybe internationally, you're in Malawi, Africa, listening to this, or maybe you're in Nigeria or Niger, or maybe you're in Mozambique or Ghana, or maybe you're in Singapore listening to this message. Listen, this is for you. Bring the shalom of God to wherever you live.
That's a good word, Mark. Thank you. If you missed any part of today's message about getting the big picture, be sure to catch up when you can by going to our website, boldstepsradio.org. And by the way, while you're there, we also hope you won't miss out on this month's Bold Step gift, because this is the final day to request a copy of this book, Mark.
It is the final day, and we've had a great response all month from this book. It's Joe Dallas, and it's called Christians in a Cancel Culture. So the final day, please pick it up today. Again, if you haven't heard about what this book is all about, it's about tackling issues that are difficult for the Christian to talk about in a cancel culture, but not backing down.
Standing boldly, right?
Staying boldly, but graciously, as we engage in conversations about gender, about politics, about all these things sometimes that really cause controversy.
It truly is a book for our times. Thank you, Mark. To request your copy of Christians in a Cancel Culture, just visit our website, boldstepsradio.org, and give a donation of any amount. Or give us a call at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. You can also send your gift and request this same book through the mail. Address your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And by the way, you can mail any questions or feedback you have for Mark to that same address. We always appreciate hearing from you, and we encourage you to reach out today, especially if you've never done so before. You can send a handwritten letter through the mail or use the Ask a Question link on our website, boldstepsradio.org. And don't forget to connect with us through your Facebook or Instagram account and now YouTube account. Search for Bold Steps Radio. And when you find us, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to our pages while you're there. Well, that's our time today. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and tomorrow we'll be back with the start of a brand new study in the book of 2 Corinthians called What Do You Smell Like? It's going to be a fascinating lesson about giving off the aroma of God, Thursday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.